Are we ready, bro?
Yes.
Okay, Shri Prabhupada Jivanamritam Ki Jai. Shri Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. The Life Nectar of the Surrendered Souls, Chapter 4, Rejection of the Unfavorable, in the section of the nectarine words of the devotees, which is in Sanskrit. Nectarine words of the devotees?
Bhakta.
Bhakta? Vachanamrita. Very good. And then rejection of the unfavorable is the chapter. It's a little more difficult. Yes, I think so.
Yes, yes.
No, it's not, because it's rejection. Anukulyas is acceptance. Yes. Then? Vivarjanam, rejection of the unfavorable. Pratikula, rejection. Vivarjanam, unfavorable. So we just heard that through yogic practice and sense control, it doesn't help to control the senses. We have to fix ourselves on the personality of Godhead. So Guru Maharaj's introduction is eagerness to... Yes. We read this yesterday. Eagerness to attain the bliss of Brahman must be known as unfavorable to devotion. So we don't want the bliss, we want devotion. So oftentimes people are motivated because they want to get something for their own experience. And Guru Maharaj tells us through the shloka of Prahlad Maharaj that Jai Gurudev. Anyway, he tells us through the shloka of Prahlad Maharaj that we don't want that. Then this is number 19. The aspiration for liberation is particularly unfavorable. Mukti sprihaya pratikulyam. Mukti sprihaya pratikulyam. Aspiration for liberation is particularly unfavorable. Then Hanuman, a verse from Hanuman. I have no aspiration for liberation, which was meant to sever material bondage, in which the relationship, your master and I am servant, is completely lost. Shri Shri Hanuman. Bhava bandha chide tasmai sprihayam na muktaye. Bhavan prabhur ahang dasa iti yatra vi pyayate. Shri Shri Hanuman. Hanuman says that we don't want to become free. We want devotion. This is the feeling of the real devotee, the real Vaishnava, that even the notion of being free from the material energy isn't interesting for the Vaishnava. And even though we can't really understand it or relate to it, we can hear it and let it kind of sink into our consciousness, so that we can understand that as we progress and as we develop in devotional life, when the prospect of such things appear to us clearly, we can understand which way to go. Hanuman has that, all these things become servants to the devotee. And all along the path, we'll be challenged as to which way we're going to go. Are we going to accept the results of devotion, or are we going to continue with the action of devotion? And it's all along the way the purity is challenged. And if we accept the challenge properly, then we grow. If we don't, we remain in a kind of neutral position without progressing. What do you think, Maharaj?
I totally agree.
What's your comment?
About the rejection of
liberation.
Idea of freedom.
Yes.
The freedom, I suppose, is loneliness. You cannot be free without being alone.
Hmm.
So it is not possible, because when an object is along with another object, it supposes some relationship, even in the space. If you have one object and another object, then there is relationship between them. And once you talk about relations, then you are limited in your freedom. Relations means to be limited in your movements. So for a conditioned soul, this is very hard to be limited, because the idea of freedom or liberty is impregnated in the same our nature. The particle of consciousness means willingness to be free. But when one realizes this freedom, realizes something that is dear to his nature, he becomes alone. And this controverts another factor of his nature, love. So in love you cannot be alone, so you want to be loved and want to love, but you don't want to be alone. So freedom and love contradict each other. And only in service, in devotional service, you can realize two of these factors.
Mm.
So this is what Shri Maharaj says: thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. Love supposes relations and loneliness, both. How? If you follow your senses, if you follow your feelings, your heart, then in a way you are free, because you do what you want. You are completely controlled by your inner feelings, your senses, so to say. So you're free. But because your senses or your feelings, your emotions are entirely controlled by the object of your love, then you are not free. So in love you can realize two of them: freedom and love. Freedom and not being alone. You're alone because you do what you want, and you are not alone because you follow the whims of the beloved one. So the idea of freedom as it is not accepted by devotees. But the freedom in relations with someone, with the center, is admired by devotees, provided that relations is relations of love. Because beyond love, all other relations somehow or other limit your your freedom. If it's not love, then it limits your existence. Even friendship somehow or other is not completely free, because you cannot do with your friend all things that you can do with your beloved one. if we talk about science of rasa, higher rasas.
So it's Achintya Bheda Bheda Tatra. We're alone. We have to be alone in our, in our progress out of the material world. But as we, feel Krishna consciousness, we are with others and ultimately with Krishna. That's what you're saying, huh, Maharaj?
Yeah. What I say is that as in Bhagavatam, many times innumerable devotees say to Krishna, approach Krishna with following words: "Oh my Lord, in you all contradictions eliminated." That means in your personality, everything that was contradicted by something else, all oppositions are harmonized in your personality. So this is what Achintya Bheda.
Reality is necessarily oppositional, like thesis, antithesis. And yes. Then synthesis is produced by the connection with the Lord.
The form, as we say philosophically, the form is necessarily opposition to something else, to non-form or another form. When I say red, something red, that necessarily means there is something not red, or there is something blue, green, whatever. So any form, sound, visual form, and taste is kind of opposition to everything else. When this is the in logics, this is the law of I don't know the English word, law of controversy. So when you state something and someone else states the opposite, one of these statements must be true and another one is not true automatically. So if I say Nyasi Maharaj is a tall man, that automatically discards the statement Nyasi Maharaj is a small man. So one of these statements is true. So what I'm saying that in Krishna, all statements, even controversy, even oppositional, they are all true. Krishna simultaneously the tall man and short man. And all other oppositions, like he's white and black, he is good and bad, he is serious and funny, everything that contradicts in lower spheres come into harmony in personality, in Krishna personality. This is Achintya Bheda Bheda.
The other thing I wonder about, Maharaj, is all that within the within the material world, I guess, I don't know how it works in the spiritual world, but we have we're mixed. We have everything is not necessarily black and white. It's pretty gray. So the gray combines with the gray and produces something that's less gray. Mm-hmm. Something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because necessarily we're we're not black, we're not all white. And gradually we're getting more and more white, something like that, within the material world. But at the same time, the Chintya Beta Beta, there is such a thing as black and white, and there is absolute. Yeah, as an ad, there is an absolute.
Mm.
But within the material world, we're kind of in the relativity of being mixed in our dedication.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah. When I'm talking about the conceptions, it's just philosophical conception. Black,
yeah.
White, so.
No, it indicates the existence of the absolute.
And
yeah.
the real or material object is, of course, a combination or mixture of pure philosophical concepts.
Mm.
As Greeks used to say, the ideas, the Aristoteles said, the idea. So there is idea. Nominal, and there is phenomenal.
Nominal.
The vyakta. What is the English word vyakta?
Well, Plato had a notion of ideal form and the shadow form, but Aristotle was a little different, right?
Yeah, a little different. So there is a pure idea and the vyakta, the appearance of this idea.
Mm. And, shadow.
Shadow, yes. And we are all surrounded by the appearance of ideas. We cannot perceive pure ideas.
Mm.
Like when we go to the shop and ask, please, black bread or white bread. It's not black or white, but we have the idea.
Mm.
White and black.
Yeah, and that's necessarily so if there really is an absolute, a spiritual realm as oppositional to like a material realm.
Yeah, this is what Socrates,
Socrates.
He had four proofs of existence of the soul. So one of his proof was if we see something mortal, there must be something immortal as the opposition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very, very logical. I think Ramanuja said something like that also in the Shishtadvaita, that if there's a form here, how can there not be a form in the absolute? How can the absolute be less than the relative,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. Okay. I guess we'll try one more. This is number 20. Srila Guru Maharaj's introduction. The aspiration to become one with the absolute is nothing more than arrogance. Okay. Sa yujya mukti spriha Audatyam eva. So audatyam, arrogance. Mukti spriha. Sayujya mukti spriha. To become one or take the form of the absolute is arrogance. And then this is from Shiramauli, would be a project to find out who these different personalities are in Prabhupada-Jivanamrita. I've never heard of Shiramauli of you, Maharaj. No. Anyway, some great devotee, no doubt. Okay. His statement that Guru Maharaj is quoting, bhakti is the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and mukti is the overstepping of that service. Who is the fool that hankers for liberation's throne, rejecting the servitorship of the Lord? Shiramauli.
Shiramauli means
the Upanishads. Means the Upanishads.
No? Oh, is it really?
Sometimes they're referred to like that.
Shiramauli nam. Okay. Crown jewels, or somewhere in the Upanishad this is stated. Bhakti is the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and mukti is overstepping of that service. You want to say something about that, Didi? Maharaj?
Well, that's clear.
Mukti is overstepping of that service. So, this tendency to overstep is like always a factor in our approach to Krishna consciousness and our practical like life and application of Krishna consciousness. We have to, be careful and act within the confines of the direction of our gurus, and not think that we can, go beyond the directions of our gurus. It's very, I've noticed that as one, in some cases, as one like begins to overly, I have a friend who this happened to, begins to overly like study scriptures that are not authorized by our gurus, the mind and the intellect begins to develop notions that it is superior. It thinks that it can overstep the bounds of Sri Guru, and this is like practically seen in the devotional community, how people are kind of falling for the trick of thinking they can overstep the guru in the form of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Devi Goswami Maharaj, and particularly to like approach the high aspects of devotional life without the requisite complete purity that's there clearly in the statements of all of our gurus. We have to be free from the anarthas. Anartha nibriti is just the start, the beginning of any kind of necessity for service in the connecting with the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. So here the first overstepping that is described is going for liberation, thinking that this liberation is superior to service, which is what they think. They think, I've become Narayan. So what is the need for service when I am Narayan? They actually think like that. It's astounding to... Have you met people like that, Didi? In India, I've met people like that. I can't believe they're actually thinking like that. They're this kind of disheveled guy wearing saffron, stumbling from one stall to another asking for donations, and he's Narayan. I mean, come on.
I've heard that they won't give obeisance to the deity.
Yeah, because they're beyond the deity. That's their conception, that impersonalist realization transcends all form, and the deity is nothing but form. So it's again, Maharaj, it's that contradictory thing that the absolute can't have form. Because the Upanishad so much says, he has form, but he doesn't have form. So they think that means that, he has form in the material world, but he doesn't have form in the spiritual world. But again, that's contradictory. How can there be form here if there's not form there? That means there's more here than there is there. And that the absolute, who is untouchable by material energy, somehow comes under the control of material energy. It's all so contradictory if one actually thinks about it and looks into it. So here's this guy under the control of the material energy, needing to have donations for his subsistence, going from stall to stall or shop to shop in Paharganj, saying, "I'm Narayan, give me a donation." And a lot of the shopkeepers, they don't know what to think. Maybe he's Narayan. okay, I'll give him a donation. Because the whole of India has become so, like, you know, contaminated by this kind of, you know, impersonal notion, particularly by the teaching of Vivekananda, who very much influenced the West conception of so-called Hinduism, which in turn, because the West thought like that, the scholars in the West, the Indians began to accept it. And more it developed in that way. Not necessarily because they're so expert in preaching or the Siddhanta of Shankaracharya in his commentary on Vedanta Sutra is so powerful. You know, it's actually just, you know, conditioning thinking that has led to that kind of misconception. And he said to me that, oh, you know, you're reading commentaries that are, after the greatest commentary. So they're all just, you know, secondary and not important. And I said, well, couldn't it be that the commentaries are, you know, presenting something that's more developed? And he just, no, it's not possible. You can't, it's the concise presentation is given by Shankara. Anyway, I'm getting too much into that. So, but, you know, it was one of these things where you're at loggerheads. He's just not going to accept. So you just say, you know, take some prasadam or just kind of bow out. But he became very offensive. So you're just a child. You can't understand what is the absolute. They really think that we're engaged in bhakti and we're so stupid that we need to have a form, that we can't comprehend what is just their intellectualization. It's hardly touching on spirit. You know, even if they somehow withdraw totally, they're just touching on spirit. They're not even, you know, entering into it. So the devotees, like here, they're not in. How can they be accepting the throne of liberation if they're rejecting service to the Lord? It's impossible. So the Shiromauli Upanishad tells us. Okay, anything, Maharaj?
Yes, actually this is true, that the Lord has no form, and simultaneously he has forms. Their logic goes like that. Any form is limitation, and the Supreme Being, the perfect being, cannot be limited to any size or any form, because form actually means the border of that and not that.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say the form of sound, that means on the scale of the time there was no sound, then sound again, then the border of that sound, and then no sound again. So sound, taste, image, everything that we call form means the beginning and the end. So the borders. And as they truly think that the Supreme Being cannot be limited to any form. But what is the fault of their conclusions? They reject or they forget the idea that the Supreme Being can have all forms together. So when you say he has no forms, that might mean both no forms and all forms simultaneously. But they reject the latter, the second option. So Upanishads say Bhagavan Nirguna means he has no forms, he has no qualities. But Nirguna may mean also he has all qualities together, even contradictory qualities. So it is true that the Lord has no form in sense that he is not black. So then you ask, oh, he is white? No, he is not white as well. Mm-hmm. He is not red. He is not green. He is not yellow. How it can be? Yes, because he all colors together. He is combination of all colors. But they reject the idea that something or someone can have all qualities. Big, small, black, white, alive, dead. So Bhagavan, he is both dead and alive.
Dead in the material world, alive in the spiritual.
This is what once someone asked Srila Gurudev, Govinda Maharaj, can the Lord be dead? He said, yes, he can be dead. Brahman, Brahma Jyoti is dead God.
Whoa.
This is
such vision and so, like some of this, is so heavy.
So he is both alive and dead. But in our limited logics, we cannot accept the idea that if something or someone is dead, he can be alive simultaneously at the same time. We cannot conceive it.
And he can possess all these qualities and simultaneously manifest himself as, you know, a coward boy who's playing with the coward boys. But he's got everything, but he doesn't show it. He doesn't want to show it.
He has all forms. He possesses all forms together. In quantum mechanics, they call it the ocean of possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
So when we don't observe an outside world, it doesn't exist. It's just the vast ocean of possibilities. You know? This is what Einstein did not accept. He didn't accept quantum mechanics in his conversation with Niels Bohr. He said, does it mean that when a mouse does not look at the moon does not exist? Mm-hmm. And Niels Bohr said, yes. When you don't look at the moon, doesn't exist. This is true. But what exists? The possibility of the moon. So the Lord is the ocean of all possibilities together. But when we look, we try to fix it, we try to register. So we, in a way, we kill him because we take some possibility and reject all other possibilities. So when I look at this microphone, that means I realize the possibility of its existence. But microphone is the object that that is dependent on my observation and my perception. But the Lord is not the case. He is not subjugal to my perception. He always remained the ocean of possibilities. That means the ocean of forms. All forms resist. All forms reside together in conception of the Lord.
So yeah, subjective evolution And the forms that manifest by the consciousness in illusion, nonetheless, always indicate what the transcendental form is, because there can't be a form without a temporary form. How can you come up with that without understanding there's an original form, like a hologram?
The shape cannot exist, or the shadow cannot exist with the original form.
So we
may call this world as the world of shadows.
I think that, you know, behind Einstein's view of things was that, you know, the more Platonic view of like reality, how there is an ideal that's really there, as opposed to whether or not materially it's there. But, you know, I think you're right, quantum is right materially, but Einstein was holding on to some ideal notion that he wanted to, like, implant right into his theory.
What was his mistake? What was his statement? And he left this world with this confidence that these shadows or these illusory forms or particles of the light are subjugal to some law. Because quantum mechanics says there is no law in manifestation of things. And Einstein did not accept it. And his famous statement is, I cannot accept that the God plays dice. This I cannot accept. This is what he said. And Niels Bohr answered him. It was like last his letter to him, 1955, something. He said, the Lord does not care whether you accept or not. Whether you accept, he's playing dice or not.
Oh boy. Yeah, and now they're talking of they're probing into the inside of the atom, right? And they're going into the quark, and they're sure that there's some kind of particle that is controlling everything, making everything manifest, right? And that's the God particle, but they can't see it. But they're assuming it has to be there.
Assumption, yes. Yeah. Assumption. But still, they could not. Harmonize quantum mechanics and relativity theory.
Which relativity does, you know, it's shown that it works, right?
Yes, it works in some part of physical world, and quantum mechanics is another part.
Uh-huh.
But how to combine them, still they cannot find it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, the Banyan tree, right, Maharaj? They can go on unlimitedly.
Scientists cannot accept the idea that everything is controlled by consciousness. So.
But yet, right, they're getting all this indication now, right, that the atoms move in the presence of consciousness, right, or whatever, the parts of the atoms move in the presence of consciousness, when they don't move without the consciousness.
Well, now they split in their opinions, but what they say, basically, they do not accept the consciousness. And without consciousness, you cannot explain many things that happen in this world.
Yeah, so all that they're coming to is already there in the Vedas, perceived not by like physical methods or mental methods, but by inner surrender and revelation, receiving that experience. And when it's received, you like
perceive it with the intellect, coming from the heart. It's not going the other way. So it's real. Whereas the other way, it's still in the realm of illusion. They're trying to penetrate the truth. They have some drive like that, right, Maharaj?
Yeah.
They want to find the truth. But, you know, they've convinced themselves so much that the truth can't be a matter, or can't be beyond matter, that they're not willing to accept all the evidence about consciousness. Okay, we're talking Jai Paparnajivanamritam Ki Jai Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai.
Aren't we late? We have to finish at 8 or?
Yeah, we'll just go a little bit over.
Okay.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai Srila Bhakti Rakab Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai Srila A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Jai. Okay. Okay, text number 30. So, Kaviraj Goswami has been revealing to us the nature of Krishna as the Absolute, and how in his transcendental nature is the desire to relate with his loving devotees in such a way that they forget that he's the Lord. And it's stated here, Krishna himself is stating that he also forgets. He totally forgets in his play with the devotees. He forgets that he is God.
Which chapter are you on?
This is chapter 4.
Madhya.
Chapter 4.
Madhya.
No. Adilila.
Adilila, chapter 4.
Yeah. So, okay, this is the text 30. Neither the gopis nor I shall notice this, for our minds will always be entranced by one another's beauty and qualities. Okay, the previous verse talked about Yoga Maya, inspiring the gopis with the sentiment that I am their paramour. Now, Krishna says, the gopis, I won't notice that they're being impelled by Yoga Maya. It's actually, they're feeling this is the real thing. This is what's really happening. And, even though the whole thing is being arranged by the power of Yoga Maya, kind of deluding the gopis in such a way so they think that Krishna is their paramour. He's not just the God who's so worshipable and so high, but he's the one who they love, who they'll leave everything for. This is like, the nature of the self, the nature of the soul, is to become like that. You know, we see that nature reflected in this world also, that everyone is, seeking after love and the beloved and all these things, and it's all just a reflection of this, this reality. So Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj is describing the reality to us so we can get a notion that there's a reality that's beyond the temporary reality that we're immersed in. And he's not just giving us an intellectual notion. This is Krishna's statements and Krishna's pastimes. So Kaviraj Goswami is trying to infuse this in our hearts. He wants to, transform our hearts by hearing, finally about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but in the interim, bringing about an understanding of the nature of Krishna and Srimati Radharani, that is the background of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the background of Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna. Sometimes that's also said. Where is that, Didi? Mahaprabhu is like more than Radharani and Krishna. I've heard that, but I don't know where it's from.
There's many references like that. Are you speaking of Radha Bhava Dutti Svogutam Nomi Krishna Sukhavne. Bhava, who is Krishna, enhanced the heart of Devo.
Well, no, I think what I'm looking for is something that says, like, directly, that not only is he that same form, but he's actually like the origin of that form.
Well, that in those beginning verses of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Paramahansa Goswami is saying it's like a moving and like a cycle, right? Radha Krishna Pranaya Vipriti Ladini Shakti Rasma, that where sometimes they're one, sometimes they're separate. And Srinivas says, like the cycle of the seasons, summer, autumn, winter, spring, you can't say which is first. But Srinivas, he also says that if you conceive of the gift and the giver of the gift, then the giver of the gift must be first. That will be Mahaprabhu. I don't know if there's a scriptural reference for that. Srinivas is a scriptural reference.
Yeah, right. He's living scripture, right?
He carries that power to say something that was not stated before. And that is true. It's like in the dance. Sometimes partners in the dance, sometimes they, especially in Latin dances, sometimes they separate, sometimes they hug each other. Separate and together. So when
embrace,
especially the lady, she goes away, turning, then come back. So when they separate in this dance, they are called Radha and Krishna. And then when embrace, it's Sri Chaitanya.
So it's definitely also in the realm of Vichintya-Veda-Veda.
So, and then technically saying, when Krishna left gopis in rasa dance, he left gopis with the gopi number one, disappeared from the view, from the sight of other gopis, and they went to a forest and disappeared with this gopi. That was already Chaitanya. So when Krishna and Radha leave rasa dance in unknown place, in that place it's Chaitanya, and in that time he comes down to material world. And then come back and they see him again. The other gopis see them again. So for them, they didn't know where he went, but he went as Mahaprabhu with Radha to save other souls and come back.
Mm-hmm. I'll just read, this is a very long purport by Srila Prabhupada, but it's very revealing. I'll read a few things that I highlighted when I first read this, and like, I don't know, 1972 or something. So in Goloka Vrindavan, there's an exchange of love known as Parkiya Rasa. Something like the attraction of a married woman for a man that her husband in the material world, a man other than her husband, excuse me. In the material world, this sort of relationship is most abominable because it's a perverted reflection of the Parkiya Rasa in the spiritual world, where it is the highest kind of loving affair. Such feeling between the Lord, devotee and the Lord are presented by the influence of Yoga Maya. Bhagavad Gita states that the devotees of the highest grade are under the care of Daiva Mayi, or Yoga Maya. Mahatmanas tumam partha daivim prakritim ashrita. It's the Gita 9th chapter. Okay. By the influence of the forgetfulness of Yoga Maya, the attractive beauty of the gopis plays a prominent part in the transcendental satisfaction of the Lord, who it has nothing to do with mundane sexology. because the spiritual love of Godhead is above everything mundane, the gopis superficially seem to transgress the codes of mundane morality. This perpetually puzzles the mundane moralists. Therefore, Yogamaya acts to cover the Lord and his pastimes from the eyes of mundaners. So she acts to cover that. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord says he reserves the right of not being exposed to everyone. The Lord is so merciful that he descends to take the fallen souls back to the kingdom of Godhead, where the erotic principles of Godhead are eternally relished in their real form, distinct from the perverted sexual love so much adored and indulged in by the fallen souls in their diseased condition. A person who actually understands what is rasa-lila will certainly hate to indulge in mundane sex life. For the realized soul, hearing the Lord's rasa-lila through the proper channel will result in complete abstinence from material sexual pleasure. So Prabhupada qualifies that for the realized soul. It's not just for anyone. It's not a process of hearing the transcendental rasa lila to dissolve our material, low material conceptions. We get touches of that by the grace of Kaviraj Goswami, and it may work in that way, but we can't think that going towards those high pastimes will automatically become only purified by them. We have to be very careful because we'll take it, even if we don't take it in a conscious way, in a subtle way, it will be like that. And we'll slide towards, sahajya notions. Notions that... The supreme and his lila and activities can become manifest through material form and material consciousness. So it just isn't true. So we have to be very careful. Anything more else? Mm-hmm. Didi? Guess we're done. Okay, the next verse is interesting. We'll read it tomorrow, but I'll read it now so we can think about it. Pure attachment will unite us even at the expense of moral and religious duties, dharma. Destiny will sometimes bring us together and sometimes separate us. So, Krishna's talking in terms of spiritual existence, and we relate to this because it happens in the material world. Everything happens in the material world because of what's happening in the spiritual world. And we have to transform our consciousness from conceptualization of things in the material world based on our own acquisition to conception of things that are based on Krishna's total acquisition and the total servitude of human entities. So that'll be text 31, and there's some interesting discussion by Srila Prabhupada. Okay. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Bhakti Rakhav Sridhar Devi Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Shri Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Shri Bhakti Nirmala Acharya Maharaj Ki Jai. Shri Chaitanya Sarasaramat Acharya Brinda Ki Jai. Shri Chaitanya Sarasaramat Vaishnava Brinda Ki Jai. All the Vaishnava Brinda in the universe Ki Jai. Gaur Premanandi Pradhani Om Jai. Okay. Want you to hurry and ride, Maharaj?
No.
Do you?
You say. Okay. Do you want to book?
No, I think I know it.